Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
The next 30 minutes, we have two ministers that will bring in the word this evening. We're going to break it up first 30 minutes, then second 30 minutes. And trusting God that you'll be blessed in Jesus' name. Please, can you put your hands together and call Pastor Atishusi to come forward and be the first person to speak to us.
Praise the Lord.
Daddy, thank you, sir, for this opportunity. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Pastor. Good evening, Mommy. Good evening, Mommy Bello. Good evening, Pastor Dele, and Pastor Dele, Father Ogi, and Pastor Dansu. It's a privilege to be here again. I believe we've had time to reflect on what we've learned so far. And as we know, this is also a new year. We are moving into the power of the kingdom. We've looked at the warfare of the kingdom by God's grace. We've learned so much from different aspects. You know, Pastor taught us, Father taught us, Daddy Bello taught us, Mommy, and it's been wonderful. I have a little time to share about the power of the kingdom. So it's not really a sharing, it's a charge. So I'm just here to give a charge within this minute. And my charge will be going around Daniel, Habakkuk, and John. Daniel chapter 11, 32. If you want to write, Daniel 11, 32. Habakkuk 1, 5. And John 14, 12. It's a charge. I'm here to charge us concerning the power of the kingdom. So, in Daniel 11:32, it says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be covered by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploit. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploit. This, the next one, Habakkuk 1:5. Behold, ye among the hidden, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will walk a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. He says, behold, ye among the hidden, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will walk a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. Then the final one is in John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So my charge is centered around these three scriptures. The one in Daniel talking about those that know their God shall do exploits. The second one in Habakkuk, when Habakkuk was, you know, making supplications unto the Lord, and the Lord replied him and told him to build. He should look towards the hidden that is going to walk a walk in his days, that even if he was told, he would not believe. Then Jesus also in John was saying that he that believe on him, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I picked this scripture to charge us concerning the power of the kingdom. I just have three questions here for us that we can answer personally. The first one is, have you experienced God's power? The second one is, how much of his power do you think you've experienced? And the third one is, how much do you now want to experience? Have you experienced God's power? The answer is either yes or no. So if it's a yes, let's assume it's a yes. How much of his power have you experienced? Or how much of his power have you walked in? If you are going to do it in form of strength, you know, when you do something, recording an audio on WhatsApp, you have this strength, 5 stars. You know, you pick the 5 of them to show whether it is this. How do I put that now? 5 stars, very good. 4 stars, I guess is good. 3 stars, fear. 4 stars, poor. 1 star, very bad. So if you're going to check how much of God's power have you experienced in the form of those 5 stars, where will you be? Have you experienced his power fairly? Or you've experienced his power poorly, if that's correct. Or have you experienced his power in, what should I use? Which word should I use now? Very much. That's the second one. Then the third one, how much do you now want to experience his power? Now that we are discussing the power of the kingdom, how much of his power do you now want to experience? Meaning his power is available, but we are the one that determines how much of it that we want to experience. It's just like a system. What you put in something and you are expecting. And what you're expecting is determined by the input. So the power of the kingdom has no issue. It has no challenge. It has been there for a very long time. From the time of, you know, from beginning, the power of the kingdom has been available. So the question is, how much of it have we seen? How much of it have we experienced? It started, we've seen that in Genesis, in the beginning, God created. And we could see the dimension of his creation. We could see in the dimension of him naming. We could see in the dimension of him growing. We could see in the dimension of him working things in time, causing things to work in time and purpose for his plan. We can see it in different dimensions. And we can say that this is attached to the way man has yielded themselves to the power or yielded themselves to God's ability. And like we all know that, well, maybe I should put it this way. Is there anything called passive power? You know, like in physics, we have potential energy and kinetic energy. You know, we want to learn physics in SS1. You talk about work energy and power at the same time. When it comes to energy, we now talk about potential and kinetic. When it comes to power, we don't say potential power or kinetic power. So is there anything like passive power? Can we say there is anything called passive power? Nobody's talking. And in definition also, the power that you use is determined by the time. Like right now, we are using power. It's attached to time. So if it goes off, we are no longer in need of power. So I'm using this as a charge to ask us how much of God's power we want to experience in this new year. How far are we willing to go to move into his power? You know, John 14:12 says, "Very, very, I say unto you, he that believes on me." This is similar to John 7:37. He also said, "He that believes on me," John 7:37, "as the scripture saith, out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water." We don't doubt that, right? We flow with the Holy Ghost. We pray. But what about this one? He said, "In last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and Christ saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Okay, 38. 38. Thank you. "He that believeth on me." The same way. "He that believeth on him." So this one, "He that believeth on him, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of the living waters." Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes or no? Rivers of living water is flowing. Now, this is another part again. Back to John 14 again. 14:12. "He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." Are we doing the works that he did? Yes or no? Brother Deji, are we doing the works that he did? We are trying. Okay, that will answer. The same statement. What are the works? Okay, thank you, Daddy. What are the works? Well, right now, I'm at least we can talk about healing. We can talk about casting out devils. We can talk about witnessing. We can talk about raising the dead. We can talk about encouraging one another. Abi, we can talk about standing in the gap. He said we should pray. He said man ought always to pray. So are we doing the works? Yes or no?
Yes, there is still the yes is still somehow.
To what percentage? He said, he that believes on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. To what percentage have we experienced that? Have we experienced the Holy Spirit? Have we been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes. So we have experienced that. What about this? He that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. He now said, and greater works. And we can't step into this without moving with the power of the kingdom. He told Habakkuk, I don't know. Habakkuk was asking questions concerning Israel. He said there is oppression here and there. He was complaining. And the Lord said, shift your focus from even what you are complaining about. Shift your focus from Israel. Now look to the Eden. The Eden is the Gentiles. We are the Gentiles. We are the Eden. He said he's going to walk a walk in their midst. And if he was told, he would not believe. We that we are even the Gentile gone, we are still trying to believe the work that he said he will do. And we know he's doing it. That's why I picked Habakkuk. Then why did I pick Daniel? He's attached to knowledge. He said, they that, is it they or those? That knows their God shall do exploits. And we know that this exploit he's talking about is attached to the matters of the kingdom. It's attached to we healing the sick. Is attached to we raising the dead, we casting out devils, we establishing the kingdom. It is attached to we doing the will of. We can't talk about the will of the Father if the kingdom has not been established. We can't establish the will of someone that we don't know. Like if I don't know Father, and you come and tell me that Father said I should do this, is he my boss? How is he related to me? Who is he to me? Before I will carry out his will. So it's thy kingdom come, then thy will. And we can't talk about the emergence of the kingdom without discussing the power of the kingdom. So my charge is tips on how to go about it. Things on, I don't know, whichever level that we are in experiencing, because God's power is active. I don't know whichever level it is. Each time I try to imagine Philip, after preaching to the Ethiopian Enoch, thank you, Daddy. And he disappeared and found himself in Azotus. I'm trying to imagine if I was Philip. The moment I appear, what's life will say? I can imagine I will first shout. I can imagine I will first say, what just happened now? I don't know. But thank God we are going to be reading the book of Acts. We can see many activities of the Holy Ghost. So tips on how to go about it. Things on how we can improve or press into experiencing more of God's power. That's what I want us to look into this evening. One is attached to knowing God. We can see that in Daniel that we have seen. Daniel 11. He said, they that know their God shall be strong. Abi, the people that know their God shall be strong. And like we know, this knowing is not just know. It's not just cramming the scripture. It involves it. It's not just memorizing. It involves it. It's like a personal experience. A practical experience. It involves a one-on-one engagement. So it's not just storing scriptures. It's a knowing. He said those that know their God. The second one. Our expectation. Our desire. We need to improve on our expectation and our desire. The third one is. The things we now need to do, I term this alignment. My chart is around tips on how to go about it. The first one is knowing God. The second one is expectation and desire. What are we expecting from God? And the third one is alignment. Why under alignment, and I have what I call our studying, fasting, watching, praying, training, opportunity, like creating opportunity and then stepping out. You know, after we have prayed, we have fasted, we have studied, and then
opportunity comes up and we draw back. It's as good as nothing. It's as good as, what's the work done? Zero. It's as good as nothing. So, this is how I believe will help us in experiencing more of God's power. We start by knowing God, knowing his precepts, knowing his thoughts, knowing his will, knowing his desire, standing in his counsel, understanding who he is, his nature as a father, his nature as a God, his nature as a king, his nature as a judge, his nature as love, his nature as a shepherd, his nature, all his nature. We have to understand them. Then, what do we expect from him? Our desire, concern from him. Then, how we are to align. Things that help us to align. Things that, you know, things that sharpens our understanding. Things that gives us skill in establishing his will. Each time I see movies, especially the one that has to do with kingdom, I notice they have all kind of warriors, all kind of battalion. And there's this funny group. I call them funny group because those ones, they can fight for anybody. I've forgotten their name. Bound Tas, Abi, Bound, whatever. What they do is that if I'm King A and you're King B, as if I can pay the money, I will employ them to fight for me against you. Thank you, sir. Mercenaries. If King B gets them and pay a higher money than my own, they will switch and fight me. Those guys are funny. And one interesting thing about them is they don't die. They always escape. Then we also have another set of agents in the kingdom. We call them a knight. They are specially trained. And we also have another one that bears the armor of the king. So we have all kind of agents. And we have to start seeing ourselves as an agent. We have to start seeing ourselves as one that the Lord is raising, or he has raised to establish his will, to establish his counsel. And we cannot do that without knowing his will, understanding his desires. Now, I have just four role models to discuss, just for under this knowing God expectation alignment. The first person is Daniel. The second is Elijah. The third is Deborah. And the fourth is Esther. Daniel, Elijah, Deborah, and Esther. These four people stood in God's will for the kingdom in their days. You know, Daniel has been my favorite role model when it comes to dream and interpretation. He has been my favorite role model. You know, in the days of, he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's forgotten dream, interpreted Belteshazzar, thank you, sir, the hand that was written on the wall. You know, while I was studying, I realized that Daniel have even had dreams concerning how the Lord was going to take away the kingdom from the hand of that before the event. The man just found himself, he was drinking, enjoying with, you know, the verses of the Lord. And he saw a hand. Daniel just got there and interpreted it. He did not go and pray. He did not go back to his secret place. There have been encounters. There have been preparation. He just told him. In fact, the way he even started interpretation was very interesting. He said, you knew how your father, how he encountered God. He did not even, he traced. He said, you were born during those days. It's not like you were not alive. You now went in to take the vessel of the Lord. And he just gave him the judgment. Many, many will take care of passion. He said, you have been weighed. Abi? You have been weighed. He never knew they have weighed him. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Probably it's happening now. I remember the Lord was telling Abraham also. He said, the children of Israel will go into captivity or go into slavery until the cup of the Amorites is full. We also need to know that there is a cup for the world presently. There are events that God is allowing to take place as we are moving. And we have a part to play. In the days of Daniel, Daniel fulfilled his part. You know, after interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream, Nebuchadnezzar, he had another dream again. He interpreted it. Belshazzar and everything. Later, he began to have dreams. He began to have vision. But I noticed one unique thing about Daniel was from the introduction of Daniel, he started with fasting, he started with praying. With his colleagues. You know, it was not only Daniel. We have other guys too. The three Hebrew also. Fasting, and praying.
And he continued like that. Then I also discovered that Daniel was a man who studied. In Daniel chapter 9, he said he found out by the books. He discovered by the books the number of years that God has prophesied that Israel should stay in captivity. It's now 70 years. We have to come out. I'm trying to imagine if Daniel had not gone to study. Which brings us to our own days. What has God said concerning us? That we can take to the court and say, God, you have said this. And it's time to bring it to pass. It was Daniel's prayer that moved Gabriel. It was Daniel's prayer that was even about to move the prince of, is it Persia? Because Daniel, Gabriel told him, when I go, we are going to push away the prince of, Persia, and another person will come. It was out of that encounter, out of that prayer. Can our prayer change princes? Can our prayer remove unseat thrones and dominion and whatever? And it can only happen when we seek God's will. It can only happen when we know what God wants to do. That doesn't mean we don't have our own personal prayer. That doesn't mean we don't have our own personal desires. But we know we represent someone. And that's our primary assignment. The word of the Lord says we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Every other thing shall be added. Okay, let me quickly move from Daniel because of time to Elijah. Elijah in chapter 17 was introduced. Just said Elijah the Tishbite just went to Ahab and then he declared, by my word, there shall be no rain. And the Lord had told him how he was going to take care of Elijah. You know, but I saw something interesting about it. Because after he prayed for, he told the woman what was going to happen, the oil will not go dry or things like that. The woman's child even fell sick and died. After the encounter, the woman said to Elijah, now I know that your word is true. You can check it. Daniel 17. After the first encounter that she had, you know, water and food was multiplied and everything. The woman's son died. Sorry. Elijah. I said Elijah. I'm sorry. In fact, I wrote Elijah here. I wrote Elijah 17:1. I'm sorry for that. It is First King. Can you please go down maybe like to the last verse or maybe last three verses? You know, Elijah prayed to God. Are you going to disappoint me? How will this woman's son die and I'm here? And the Bible says Elijah laid on the boy three times. Yes. The third time, okay, Elijah took the child and brought him down one out of Chema into the house and delivered him unto his mother. Okay, we have jumped that story. And Elijah said, see thy son liveth. Next verse. And he cried unto, okay, can you just go to 23? Because of time. And okay, next one. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know. There was a first encounter. There was a first miraculous supply. But this one canceled that one. If Elijah did not fulfill this one, it can remove his, it can direct his anointing or whatever that he has done with that woman. He said, now I know by this that you are a man of God. And the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. He said, now, because of this experience. So if Elijah prayed for a dead boy and came back to life, the same is expected of us. But we can't get to that level if we have not started praying for headache, if we have not started praying for kata, if we have not started praying for legs that is aching you, if we have not started going out. When we get to this one, we run away. That's why David said when I was in the field, I killed this, I did that, I did this. He was giving his testimonies. So when Goliath came, he could stand because he has passed different tests. Okay? Then in 18 again, you will see that the Lord was one who now told Elijah in verse 1 that it is time to release rain. In 18 verse 1. He said, what Lord came to Elijah in 3rd year saying, go, show thyself unto heaven, and I will send rain upon the earth. It was now time, 3 years later. I don't know what Elijah was doing. Maybe he was enjoying himself. And Lord just told him, it's time to send rain. But despite that, Elijah still needed to pray for the rain to come. The Lord had said, it's time to send rain. Then send the rain. Like the Lord had told Israel, 70 years later, through Jeremiah, you will come out of captivity. So let's come out. Daniel shouldn't have prayed. But if Daniel had not prayed, I don't know. It was out of his prayers that we now have people like Ezra. We have people like Nehemiah. We have people like Hosea. We have people like Zechariah now coming. But somebody initiated it
by praying.
They were, I don't know if I call them counterparts or colleagues, shall living in those days. But they were now fulfilling different purposes. But the person who started the intercession was Daniel. So if you now read downward, Elijah now had to go and pray again that they should send rain. Then in the around the last three verses, the Bible says that the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah and he outran Ahab. The hand of the Lord. So without the hand of the Lord, Elijah would not have been able to outrun Ahab. Like I shared, I said of the experience of Philip. At least I believe the one of Philip is faster than one of Elijah. Elijah outrun Ahab. I don't know what happened to his servant, because he sent a servant to go and check if there will be rain. Maybe he caught him together and they disappear. I don't know. But that's about Elijah. Look at Deborah. Deborah usually intrigued me each time I read it. He said she is the wife of Lapidoth, a prophetess. Assignment as an helpmate did not stop her from fulfilling this purpose. That is in Judges chapter 4. Judges chapter 4, I think verse 1. It said, and Deborah, they just introduced her. Judges chapter 4, are you there? Sorry, please. Let me quickly read it. Okay. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. I'm trying to imagine if I was there and a woman. You know, some of us, we can't listen to a woman. She's the judge. Some of us, imagine if a woman is the president of Nigeria. Ah, some men will not agree. It can't work. They will tell you it can't work. They will tell you she can't submit. She can't be submissive. She can't do this. She can't do that. As if the man, too, is also submissive. She's a prophetess. So in our days, we should look forward to women standing in the office of the prophet. We should look forward to women standing in the office of the apostles. We should look forward to women standing in the office of the evangelists. We have them. We have Maria Woodward Etta. We have Amy McPherson. The person who started Foursquare was a woman. We have them. But it's becoming scarce nowadays. She was the wife of Lapidoth. She judged Israel. She was a prophetess. She knew. She was one that even called Barak. Oh yeah, it's time to launch out. It's time to move. Barak, who was the man, said, if you don't go with us, we are not going anywhere. That was a warrior who was telling, probably he saw that this is not a natural battle. I don't know. He said, if you don't go with us, we are not going anywhere. So we could see fellowship of Deborah and the Lord. We could see Deborah receiving the word of the Lord and stepping out to act it. We could see connection. We could see relationship. We could see someone standing in God's counsel. She was a judge. Do you know what it means to be a judge in those days? Where things were upside down. And the woman is now the judge. That's absurd. It's not even, in those days, things were upside down. Things were upside down. So I don't know, I'm giving a charge to our women in our midst. I don't know what's the mountain like. You know, Stasher did something during convention. I've told her, you are still going to lead us. You are still going to lead us. We are going to the hospitals to pray for them. We need to see women like that. Then Esther, she was willing to give her life to death. Said, if I perish, I perish. This also tells us that as a kingdom agent, no matter the position that you find yourself, when it comes to doing the Lord's will, you must be ready to let go or discard whatever you are holding. Like Jesus told John the Baptist, he said, let to fulfill all righteousness. John was telling that you should be the one to baptize me. But for the matter of the kingdom, you be the one now. So, there are times that the Lord may require us to do things that are not, that doesn't befit our status. Let me use that word. I don't know if that's the correct word. It may require us to do something that doesn't befit our status or something. Jesus told Peter, Peter did not even want Jesus to wash his feet. And Jesus had to tell him, if you don't allow me to do this. So in experiencing God's power, there is, just to summarize it, we have to study. We have to fast. We have to watch, because many times we just fast and pray. No watching. It is watch. See what God is doing, then pray it forth. Don't just pray. And when it comes to studying, it's not just studying. Before, you know, one of my friends said,
After you've learned the word for some time, they can open portal over your head. You start knowing. He said, the Bible says that knowledge pops up. So it's not like because you have known so much Bible, you now be thinking you know more than others. No, it's a relationship, a fellowship, such that you can be quickened, you can be equipped to be used in flowing in God's power. Just to summarize it, it says that, finally, yeah, please, I'm sorry. My call for action for us, this is just my call for action, is a call for action from my charge. At least, let's try to fast once or twice in a week. Because this thing is active. It's active. Like, I notice what I do every time. I become used to, as in, it's like sometimes that another thing, another idea in that realm opens up. Like, I've been learning coding of one funny thing, one project like that. And I notice the more I do it, the more idea on that, I'll just tell my wife, I've got a better idea that I did not get last week. I've got a better idea. The more you stay in that realm, it opens. So we must fast and pray. It's a charge. At least let's try to pray in tongues, even if it's for 30 minutes every day. Let's try it. Let's give ourselves to it. Let's pray in tongues. Then let's try to read 10 chapters of the Bible daily. It's a charge. Let's try it. See how it goes. Let's try. You can push to your own to 20. Remember, we have some of you who have done 80. I don't know. I'm going to do that one. I don't know. Pray for someone. Pray for the church. My time is up. Pray for someone. Pray for the church. If it is pastor you want to pray for throughout this week, you don't know what you have done to the kingdom. You don't know. And then, let's study a book. Study spiritual books. Study. You can come to daddy. Which book do you think I should study now? You can come to father. Which book do you think I study now? Then try to witness or encourage someone daily. So, lastly, I want us to also, when we get home, list the obstacle before you and begin to see it becoming a what? A plane. Thank you very much.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.